podcast dedicated to improving the competitive 40K experience and part of the Down Under Network. I'm Denise, and today we're joined by Godhammer's Liam Hackett.
I'm finally back. It's been way too long.
Liam's back from his grot life, and we're here today to cover the long-awaited Chapter Approved 2019. So today we'll be going through pretty much all the Xenos part of it. I know Nids essentially got their new stuff in Blood of Baal, which we're yet to cover, but we'll talk about the GSC changes. We'll pour some out for our Lost Brothers, and we'll go through all the other Xenos changes as well. But Liam, how you going, man?
Oh, I'm going pretty good, Denise. How are you going tonight?
Yeah, good. Heard you just bought a house, love and life, this guy.
Literally 2 hours ago, signed a contract, my first home. It's going to be very, very exciting.
Yeah.
And scary. There's too many zeros in that number, man. There's too many zeros in that number.
And then what? You're off to New Zealand tomorrow.
Yeah, so I'll actually probably do an episode from the land of the sheep. It's going to be incredible.
Line up any 40K?
I didn't even broach that with the girlfriend. I decided that asking to maybe bring some Warhammer and play in New Zealand would be a bad idea. So. Sorry for letting everyone down, but no, I'm not doing that.
That's right, mate. You've traveled like, what, 8 times in the last 12 months for 40K?
Yes. So we're talking several interstate events, Serbia, always a bit of an expensive travel bill for mandals, but hey, we love it. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, man. So obviously Chapter Approved coming out very shortly, changing a lot of things in terms of points. Of course, we've got new missions and things that we won't cover today, but we'll just deep dive straight into the first of our Xenos Xmas special. Liam, take us away with orcs.
Baby, now we're talking. So, look, I am very unabashedly an orc fan, and I obviously love the orcs. And when Chapter Approved came out, I was literally, not metaphorically, shitting myself. Because thank you very much, Rob Bear, for the spiky bits rumors that Gretchen were going to go up to 4 points per mole. That was terrifying for the week and a half that I believed it and was ready to put all my Gretchen in a blender, which was very upsetting. But that didn't happen. So obviously, Orcs got a huge amount of changes. Like, in terms of the number of units that changed, there's like 10 or so significant changes. Like, I'm not talking, a point here, a point there. A whole bunch of the units got massive changes. And look, to be honest, as you mentioned, I think before we started recording, I could probably monologue for a solid hour about the Orcs changes in of themselves. But I'll try and, I guess, highlight a few things and briefly talk about how I reckon this actually changes a lot of things for Orcs overall. So some of the biggest changes are the things that didn't change, which is actually significant, because when you have, things that are so prevalent, I guess, you definitely expect Games Workshop to Chapter Approve them, so to speak. If that should become a verb, it is now. So I expected shock attack guns to go up. I mean, very few lists don't have a shock attack gun. In fact, I haven't seen an orc list without a shock attack gun. And specifically, the Super Shocker from Dreadwar, I literally expected that to go up because it's an auto take. I definitely expected some changes from the Gretchen, considering the number of rumors that were out about them. But, neither of those models changed, not even a single point, which is huge, because a lot of lists have those as their backbone. It matters. But in terms of the things that did change, apart from the Death Killer War Trike, the HQ choice, every single Speed Freaks model changed. So all of them dropped quite substantially in points. Now, this is still one of the funniest named units in 40K, the Rucka Trucka Squig Buggy, or whatever it's, that thing dropped by like 50% of its points cost. Oh, sorry, not that bad, by about like 30%, 33%, like a third of its cost, which is shaved off. Yeah. Used to be 140 points, and then it dropped 40 points. So it's now a flat 100 points, which is actually huge. Like, it's quite a large points drop for a unit that was already on the cheaper side at 140 points. Mm. And then all of the other ones, like the Shock Jump Dragster, the Mechatrack, Scrapperjet, and all the other stuff that I can't believe I can pronounce without doing tongue twisters, all actually dropped, which is, it gives me a little bit of hope, I guess, because in most competitive orc lists, well, I take that back, in every competitive orc list, you don't see any of these models, like not a single one of them. So the fact that they all went down in points tells me that at least somebody in the megalith money pit that is Games Workshop actually pays attention to what's not used and wants more things to be used. I'm really positive about that. But there are some other units that got significant price drops, like Flashkits. Flashkits used to be 30 points a model. They're now 24 points a model. So, you know, that's a 20% drop for an infantry squad as well. Like 10 of them went from 300 to 240 points. That's significant. You also got drops for a whole bunch of other stuff. I think Burner Boys went down too. You had, you look across all these orc stuff and you can actually list like 8 or 9 things that substantially changed. Now, for all the orc brothers out there, like all the people who are playing orcs, I actually do genuinely think that some of the Speed Freak stuff actually has play now. The thing is that some of these vehicles are, and one of the challenges with these vehicles is, and I'm not trying to like, I guess, sell them up now. I'm going to be honest with everyone listening. The problem with these Speed Freak vehicles is they suck for the ITC format.
They're
literally horrible because they're easy to get kill points. They're 8 wounds. And perhaps the worst thing about them is they come in squads of 3. So they deploy in squads, but then they become separate units. So it's the worst possible combo for ITC because they give up Big Game Hunter. They give up Gangbusters. Like one squad gives up all 3 Gangbusters. And because they split into separate units, they give up easy kill points. So you give up kill one, kill more. Unfortunately, they're just not good for the ITC format, which I think is part of why they haven't really seen that much play. But if you play a different format, seriously, you can write a reasonable orc list with 18 of these vehicles on the table and 1 or 2 of the Deathkiller War Trucks. You can literally write a list that's just 2 Outriders. I wrote this list the other day, man. It's 9 of the Shock Dump Dragsters and 9 of the... Oh, sorry. My bad. So it's 6 of the Shock Dump Dragsters, 6 of the Mecha Tracker Scrap and Jet. Oh my god, these models. And then 6 and then 6 of the Squig Buggies. And you look at it, man, and that's literally, you know, that's 150 wounds or something like that of vehicles. More. It's actually over 160 wounds of vehicles. The whole army's T6. So you've literally got an entire army where your lowest toughness is T6. It's actually not a joke, except in ITC. That's the problem. But if you think about that for a couple of other formats, you know, it's not actually that much of a meme. I think people should actually consider some of those models now when they've got huge points drops.
Dude, yeah, plus, that's a lot of stuff that you can fit into 2K right there.
Yeah, exactly. Now you know what? This is kind of the downside, the Liam pessimism that everyone's used to. It's also going to cost you about $4,000. So look, just be aware that, you know, you have 2 kidneys and medically you don't need both kidneys. So if you do want to sell one, you know what? Buy some orcs.
You heard it here first from a doctor.
It's medically justified right here. So, hey, Denise, this is actually probably the most, I think, medically informed 40K podcast. We've got a doctor and a dentist here to consult on matters of medicine. This is incredible.
I mean, yeah, fair enough. Do we get an hourly rate for this show?
Oh, there's no way. We'll make it a loss.
We're currently on a strong loss. But that's okay. We love this. All right. What else on orcs have you got for us, Liam?
So, to be honest, that's the biggest changes. I think in terms of what I guess this means for orcs on the whole, you got to remember that the core of most orc lists still remains, you know, boys and some mech guns. And there was a little bit of tweaking with the mech gun points, I believe. Don't quote me on that one. Mm-hmm. But by and large, it's not going to make a huge change to that list. My only advice to people playing that army is seriously think about some other things that have come down in points because that list is struggling in the meta at the moment. I think branching out, trying some new things would actually be a really, really good idea. But as much as I love the old Fungus Men and as much as I love the midget variant of the Fungus Men, I think we should probably talk about some of the other factions as well.
Of course, man. So another faction that people are starting to talk about that's got a bit of a boost is Tau. So I'll let you take this one as well, Liam. What are you looking at? What's big?
Well, if it's okay, I'm actually going to tennis racket that one back to you.
Okay.
But the biggest things I noticed about the Tau was some crisis suit drops again. Yep. And the fact that, to be honest, most of the battle suits went down to, I think, some like broadsides dropped as well. And again, I know it's a bit weird to say, but the biggest thing that changed was what did, sorry, the biggest thing in Chapter Approved was what didn't change.
Mm-hmm.
Shield drives. Yep. Like those spiky bits rumors that they were going to go up to 12 or even 14 points a model, the fact that they didn't is massive. Like that's actually huge because that rumor absolutely executed some Tau armies. It made them functionally unplayable, which was disgusting. What do you think about that today?
Yeah, look, and if I can add to that, the second you take away Tau's ability to use things like shield drones, you quickly realize they're just standing. They're literally like an army that's just like these drones are making them playable. You know, if the second you take them away, you realize, oh, they can't fight. Their shooting's okay, but not as good as other armies. Their durability is lackluster at best. And, you know, if the shield drones change, I actually think Tau would not be playable. That's my personal opinion, because shit would just die way too quickly.
No, I 100% agree. Yeah. I mean, put it this way. In my opinion, the most competitive Tau list is whatever Tau list can fit the most shield drones in it. Yeah. And previously, there were Tau lists with, you know, 36 of them. So if you raise the cost of shield drones by 4 points a model, which was actually rumored at the time, you're literally losing 140 to 150 points in that army, and it becomes like, what do you take out? A whole broadside?
Yeah, like a brick of broadsides. That starts to get ridiculous. Yeah. But,
that's going to sting, so.
Yeah, and then you've got, it's kind of cool, Storm Surges have gone down. A lot of people are thinking about experimenting with Storm Surges and having like 3 Surges and a full army behind it.
Yep.
Broadsides, the high yield missiles and the ATS have gone down, I believe, which is really cool.
Okay.
So they're getting a nice boost. I think I saw a few of the characters go down. I'm not 100% sure, but I think like a couple of the commander variants dropped a few points. But the big ones I think are the broadsides. Is the did I just say broadsides? Is oh god,
you did.
Oh
it's
my
okay.
god,
it's fine.
The
it's fine.
Broadsides, the reduction of costs in them, and the not changing, like you said, in shield drones, for me is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, look, I'm actually... So, initially, I was kind of just internally asking myself just now, why did the ATS go down in points? And then I kind of realized, oh, I know exactly why the ATS went down in points, because the entire Space Marine Codex
gets
got an ATS
yeah.
for free. Yeah, so that's why they did that.
Yeah. No, 100%, man. It's like you need to cost that appropriately, especially because if you're paying a massive tax for it, it's like, okay, cool, I may as well just play Marines. You get exactly the same thing.
Exactly. I'm going to play a gun line that can also beat you to death. But anyway, this is a Xenos.
this is a Xenos
episode.
Yeah. So I guess at that stage, I'll take it away with the Necrons, and then you can hit GSC in a moment. But Necrons got a really, really nice boost. Now in the leaks, they talked about the Transcendent Catan going down, which is really cool because that model is amazing. He's gone down 20 points.
I love it.
A lot of the characters got some good treatment. So Orokan, General Overlords, Generic Overlords, Imatek, Anrakia, Seras, just regular lords, regular Destroy Lords, all went down between kind of 10 and 27 points. So Anrakia especially going down a fair bit. Some cool tech choices, Deathmarks, which are not really seen in the meta, have gone down 3 points. It's actually considerable, man. Whether you'll see them or not is questionable. My fan favorite, Flayed Ones, which I thought were a bit more appropriate about a year ago, probably not now, but they've gone down
4 points. I think you mispronounced Edward Scissorhands, but that's okay.
They've gone down 4 points. So a brick of 20 Flayed Ones is like 80 points cheaper. but they're like 17 points a model. They've essentially gone down about 20%, 25%.
Well, so, hang on. So yeah, they went down from 17 to 14.
No, 17 to 13. Yeah, it's like, it's fucked. Like, it's actually a lot of points dropped.
So they're like, wow.
They're attacking that's actually now. Yeah.
That's actually very significant. Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, still they're lacking the delivery system, but the flayed one bomb, let's say 20 flayed ones, Vargard, Xandarek, and just lay a Cryptek, because a Cryptek also went down. That combo went down about 110 points.
That's cool. That is quite cool.
Yeah. The other thing is Lich Guard went down 2 points. A lot of people are talking about Wraiths. They've gone down 6. I'm not super convinced, because I think a lot of things in the current meta just butcher Wraiths. Like, you Tremor Shells them with a Thunderfire Cannon, they die. Admech picks them up. Marines pick them up. So it starts to get really tricky with Wraiths. But really cool thing, Heavy Destroyers are down to 37 points.
Did you say down 37
down
points?
Down to 37 points.
Oh, sorry. I was just like, wait a minute. I thought they were like 37 points to begin with.
So they got a 13-point drop. They got massive points drop. Probably because they're just like a single-shot gun on a platform, essentially. So, like, you'd always take a regular destroyer over them. But now, you know, they're actually playable. Another cool tech choice for the Silver Tide, the Ghost Ark's gone down another 25 points. It went down, I believe, 15 last CA. And, Liam, you brought this point up, that Necrons went down last chapter approved, 2018, and they've gone down again in 2019. So, GW definitely overestimated the strength of that book.
Yeah,
a cool thing I was fucking around with is actually Tome Spiders going down 20 points. That's like a 30% points drop for their base chassis without weapons, but they're still bad.
it seriously begs the question, though, like, when you know that you've made it, this is like GW High Command or whatever on the bridge of the USS Overcosted, and then, you know, you have, like, you recognize that you've made a mistake, then you fix it. And then you realize that your fix is not good enough, so you fix it twice.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, come on, guys. Like, you fucked up bad. Like, yeah, you just did.
It's pretty fucking funny. No, it's good that they get a bit of a boost. And I think stuff like the classic Doom 6 that you're seeing, 3 Necron Flyers, 3 3 Doomsday Arcs, maybe we'll get a bit of addition to that, which isn't just mech, or which isn't just, you know, mortals in the backfield. Maybe we'll see some of these other units. You know, even the old Triarch Stalker went down, mate. So, you know,
did he?
Yeah, it's gone down. What is it? 20? No, that's like 10. Triarch Stalker went down 10 points. So, a lot of Necron armies might just find themselves with an extra 100 points just chilling out, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, to be honest, I think some of the Necron armies, I don't know, it kind of came out of nowhere, because I felt like the meta changed and then Necron lists became more prevalent at tournaments. I'm not really sure why, because I felt like the meta became worse for those sort of lists. Like, I literally felt like I started noticing Necron lists when Space Marines came out, and I was just kind of like, what?
Well, it's
but
it's,
well,
yeah, I was going to add, Liam, it's really interesting, because, like, Rob Lane, for example, down in Melbourne, who's, you know, really kicking ass with Necrons, like, he won EastCon, like, he's doing really well. I think part of it is, like, Necrons have the ability to do stuff like the Mortal Wound Strat. You know, they've got relative resilience in different ways to other armies. Probably not as resilient as something like Demons. But then you've also got the trick that no one knows how to fucking play against them, because you don't see them at all.
Yeah, true. That's fair.
Yeah. But yeah, man, so I'm really positive about Necrons. Having a Necron army, I might get that out to play test some things. But Liam, GSC... what's going on?
Okay. So, look, we've been very positive so far. This has been the positivity podcast, apart from me inserting my obligatory bitch about Space Marines here and there. but now we have to chat about, this is like the eulogy for Gene Steeler Cult.
Oh.
So, before I start,
sorry, Wayne. I'm sorry, man.
Oh, man. I'm also sorry, Aaron. I'm sorry, Lee. I'm sorry, Aaron, a few other Lee. People too.
Poor Aaron is just getting that army cranking. Oh, no.
Oh, look, I'm also sorry, Nick Nanavati. But anyway, look, the reality is that GSC got hit, and they got hit, I think, pretty hard, chapter approved. Are GSC unplayable? No. that this army is not made unplayable by it. Some of the key units that are used a lot, like Acolytes, for example, weren't touched by Chapter Approved. Mm-hmm. So yep. there are elements that you can use. That being said, a lot of really competitive GSC armies, armies that were never overpowered per se, but with the right pilot could do well at tournaments, got hit by a freight train. They're now under the freight train being ground up on the little tracks, like a mess. It's actually quite depressing. Yeah. Like, but like, for example, the biggest change for me is the change to Aberrants. Mm-hmm. Now, Aberrants are actually my favorite unit in the GSC Codex. They don't even have like a second unit in comparison to this for me. And it's not just because of the damage they do, it's because of the ways you can use them differently. This is a melee unit that you can advance and charge, that you can fight twice, that you can deep strike and charge reliably, you can make them unshootable, you can give them a 4-up feel no pain, you can make them have exploding sixes, like you can just keep listing all of the things you can do with a unit of Aberrants. Mm. And they got one hell of a price hike. So all of the Aberrants went up in points, but the big change is the stop sign, so the Aberrant with the improvised weapon went up by like, and again, I don't know the exact number and I apologize for this, but it went up by like 17 points per model.
Yeah.
So for example, you look at a list that has 30 Aberrants, like a Muscle Beach list, a very, very common American archetype GSC list. And that list gains like it gains like 150 to 160 points from the Aberrants alone.
Just the Aberrants, so yeah.
Yeah, so like that's annoying because that's already like a couple of squads you've got to drop, a couple of characters you've got to drop. But it's not the only hit to GSC. GSC also got some price hikes for a number of their important characters. And I won't go through them each individually because, you know, all the points have leaked right now. Some Tom Cruise Mission Impossible person is hanging from a wall in GWHQ taking photos that are that blurry. But you can still see the GSC points. But like the point is that when you get to a 2,000 point army for GSC, you're not going to have, you know, 4 HQ choices for your obligatory battalion. You're going to have, you know, 2 Broodlord, 2 Patriarchs, 2 Magus, 2 Primuses, 2 Kellamorphs, a Sanctus, a Nexus, a Clamavus. I'm nearing the end of the number of characters' names I can recall off heart. But the fact is you're going to be taking, you know, 10 to 11 to 12 characters. GSC armies are very heavy in characters. Mm-hmm. And if you make all of those characters go up 5 to 10 points, then that's actually another 150 points your army's down. And yep. now you're looking at your 2,000 point army being worth 2,300 points when you combine the Aberrant cost with also the cost of the characters. And I tell you what, an army that was already hard to play, mm-hmm. needing to lose 300 points of their army to play a competitive list, let me rephrase that, to play the competitive list that I like the most, that hurts. That hurts a lot. And as much as I'm one of those people who always wants to be positive for people who aren't playing Space Marines, GSC got hurt. It is actually a sad time to be a ribbed forehead boy.
Yeah, it's, I mean, one thing that'll come out of this is, you know, GSC, like Orcs, is a very deep codex. So we may see things coming out that we didn't see before. I know Neophytes, still reasonable. Acolytes, still reasonable. But the character support costs going up is really going to hurt. I mean, if you look at where GSC was, and we have to understand, you know, if the rumors are correct and Chapter Approved was written, you know, long before the Marine books came out, GSC were in a really strong spot. And a lot of people were saying, hey, this needs a nerf, this needs a change, whatever, whatever. But then the Marines just came out and nullified, like, you know.
But then...
Yeah. You know that cool thing the GSC had to, you know, deploy in your face? Infiltrators. Suck a dick. You know, when you charge? Eliminators. Shoot that gun. Run away. Can't charge you. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many little mechanics that were added in that hurt GSC that realistically that probably would have gotten away without a nerf pretty well, pretty neatly. And now they got hit. So it's a bit awkward for everyone.
Yeah. And I think... That's actually one of the challenges, I guess, with I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm actually sympathizing with GW in some respect, because their release schedule means that if they're going to do a comprehensive review of something like Chapter Approved, they're going to look at all the points. They can't do it the week before. Like they have to do it months and months and months in advance. And the thing is that this is like the part of GW that's probably doing that is probably not the exact same people who are doing the playtesting for books that are due to be released in the future. Like there's probably like a balance crew, I guess. Mm. And so, for example, the group that wrote the Space Marines Codex, which I guarantee you are now living, you know, on Mars because they're aliens or like whatever the fuck you people are doing. Anyway, the point is that the people who wrote that book, there's no way they're also the exact same dude who's sitting down and doing the points changes for Chapter Approved.
Yep,
so
that's correct.
It's likely that when they did Chapter Approved, they looked at a snapshot of the meta in June or whatever it was and said, hey, you know, like at the moment, these GSC Aberrant lists are tearing up and every single GSC list has a killer or something like that. So we need to make changes so that other parts of the GSC book get used. Fine, sure, whatever. In isolation, I can understand why that makes sense. But then you hike Aberrants while selling the Assault Centurion model. Like, I mean, you can't have your cake and also fuck the cake. Like, it's just not acceptable. I don't like it. But yeah.
Anyway. The cake is pretty fucked right now. But
yeah, it's not great.
Yeah. But yeah, like, when you compare those same units, even when you compare an Aberrant to something like an Aggressor, you know, the points comparison is just ridiculous.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, it's always gonna be hard. But I have some hope. You know, our GSC guys are still tool getting stuff around and seeing how this stuff goes. And I'll be interested to see, you know, what people can pull off with GSC, because it's never been, I don't think, an army that, you know, you could just put on the table and play. It takes a lot of skill to play it, which means the inherent skill level of those players are gonna find something.
But. And I will actually end the GSC section with a positive segue, mm-hmm. because look, the GSC component got hurt and some of the tech components got hurt too, but GSC can ally with literally two armies. They can ally with Guard and the most buggy boys available, the Tyranids. Yeah. And I think we'll have almost an entire episode in the future about the Tyranids and the yes. rumors and the leaks of things that are coming out.
Yeah.
But GSC players, look, in terms of your super faction and things you can use, you're getting more tools.
Yeah.
You just might have to branch out a little bit, because tell you what, some of the Tyranid stuff is going to be out of this world.
Oh, look, and I can guarantee you guys, we need a full episode for that.
It's actually, there's so much content to cover in that one.
Yeah, and I think GSC players allying in a few of the nitty boys, you're going to have a lot of fun. If the nids, you know, they had tricks before, now they got some really, really cool stuff. I went over and played Eric the other day and he ran his Gaunt Carpet. And, you know, it's still got legs. It's harder for him to play it. Still got legs, but this was before the new nids came out. And it's going to be sick. But yeah, I think... sorry, Liam, you go.
No, you go.
I was going to move on to our next faction, but before we do, you can finish off what you were going
to
say.
No. What's the next faction you want to talk about?
It's the one that neither of us like particularly well. Yeah, the Eldar.
Skip it. Sorry, Lucky. Skip it. We're not going to talk about
Sorry, Eldar. Lucky. Nah, sorry, done. Luke. Sorry, Liv. So I actually don't have the detailed breakdowns.
We have a lot of Eldar players in our group, don't we?
Yeah, we really fucking do. Maybe that's why we don't like them so much.
Makes sense.
So, of the Eldari factions... We had releases with Phoenix Rising that changed things a lot. Things like Exarch powers, new strats, new make your own craft world and Cabal and stuff that all came out. And then with Chapter Approved, we had some other changes. So stuff like the Crimson Hunter, which went up, which was dying to Imperial Fists anyway. I think the Razor Wing was it, Liam, that went down.
Fighter, it was a bit bizarre.
Yeah. So they're trying to obviously push some other options in, which is cool, you know, giving people options to play other things. But then a lot of characters and a lot of stuff went down. So Dark Reapers went down to one of their previous points. I think they went down from 36 to 31, I'm not 100% sure those numbers, but they sound kind of right to me. Do you remember if Shining Spears went down, Liam?
I think they did marginally. I'm just trying to find the points now.
Yeah,
I think the thing that you mentioned, I guess, about the Dark Reapers going down is, it's interesting to me. And I mean, I don't like to read into these things too much, because if you read into them a lot, you kind of start thinking, oh, you know, maybe the intern at Games Workshop like understands 40K. Maybe he's actually read the rulebook. But you know, you don't want to get a bit excited. But and the reason I say that is that the Dark Reapers went up, for example, when Yunari was the thing, as in when Soulburst worked the way that it did previously, before it got changed how it is now.
Yes.
And so Dark Reapers went up because literally every Eldar list that mattered had a unit of 10 Dark Reapers and the Yavrain, and you were shooting them twice with Doom and Jinx and everything else. And this was, guys, this was so long ago in the meta. This was back when Magnus was a thing. Like, this was back when Magnus lists were the shit. And so, you know, you used to have Dark Reapers who would just delete Magnus or delete a key unit and so win you the entire game.
Mm.
And being able to shoot twice and fire and fade made them intensely strong. But Yunari obviously changed. Craft Worlds obviously changed with the advent of Yunari. And also the meta changed. Now with, like, and I'm not just talking about Marines, but, you know, with AdMech stuff as well, out of line of sight shooting is incredibly strong. And so a few of those things that previously made Dark Reapers such a powerhouse are just gone. You can't shoot them twice. You're not as immune to everything when you're out of line of sight. And also, your psychic powers that work on Dark Reapers no longer work on, like, Ravagers and stuff. So the whole army can't benefit from one thing.
Yeah.
All these little tech choices change. And it seems to me anyway that GW saw that. Mm-hmm. Saw their price hike and said, hey, look, they're no longer what they were. Let's bring them back in line to what they were, you know, pre-balance review. And so I'm like, cool. Like, that kind of shows me that stuff's going on. But yeah, like, look, other things didn't really change. Like, for example, I think Howling Banshees may have changed slightly, but not enough for it to be, like, quite substantial.
Yeah.
The other thing that I guess what I like, when you look at the Eldar points, is the grav tanks. Mm-hmm. So a whole bunch of the grav tanks actually changed in points, like really, really substantially.
Yep.
So I'm just trying to have a look and find the points. I was looking at the other day. It's not so much the tanks themselves, but I think a lot of the guns, a lot of the guns dropped in a reasonable amount of points, which kind of means that a lot of the tanks, even if you, so what I'm trying to say, I'm kind of just rambling there. What I'm trying to say is that when you build an Eldar mech list and you play the most extreme version of it, and it's got, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 tanks, again, by dropping the points there, you might get one extra tank.
Yep.
And that sounds like it's nothing, but it's actually everything. Because with these sort of lists, having one more tank, having 10% more things on the table, just means that that's one more thing that your opponent struggles to kill. Now, struggles to kill, holds an objective, denies a kill point, so on and so forth. The sort of caveat that I will add to that is, unfortunately, the biggest winners, I guess, in this Codex review, being the mech choices and the Dark Reapers, are still things that struggle in the current meta for all the reasons that I just mentioned.
Yeah.
I mean, the people who are getting ready to fight 50 to 60 intercessors can definitely shoot to death, like, fire prisms. The people who are ready to fight 300 bodies can definitely, let me rephrase that. The people who are getting ready to fight people on dense terrain against Marines as well can definitely shoot Dark Reapers out of line of sight. They are Marines that are toughness 3 and 1 wound. You know, I think these changes are good for Eldar. And I actually, again, just like with the Necron stuff, I really look forward to seeing what the really techie players can do with the buffs that they've got.
Yeah.
But I also think that Mono Eldar is struggling a bit at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, one of the cool points that I saw, Liam, the Warlock Conclave going down. So, you know, taking a lot of bikes drops like 100 points, like a considerable amount of points. But then the fact that, you know, three Imperial Fist Thunderfires just exist just makes that so tricky to play.
Yeah. The other thing with Eldar that did drop, which, look, I don't really know if this actually makes a difference, is the Wraith Knight went down.
Oh, yep.
The shooting components of it went down like a reasonable amount. I mean, I still think if you were going to buy a paperweight, you can buy a cheaper one from Officeworks.
It's like when you get those really nicely colored and scented bin liners.
Oh, yep. Yeah. No, I get you. I get you. So, yeah, like that candle you buy your girlfriend for Christmas, that's the Wraith Knight.
Yeah, that's the Wraith Knight, mate.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, the Wraith Knight kind of suffered from edition change syndrome, where GW realized that there wasn't really an Eldar list that didn't have three Wraith Knights in it. And so they kind of made them...
They just cucked them.
Bad. Yeah. Like, I don't know. The issue is that a Wraith Knight is an Imperial Knight, but is more points and is worse at literally everything. It is less durable. It is less mobile because the Wraith Knight has lots of stratagems. It is less durable because an Imperial Knight just spends one CP and gets four up invo. The Wraith Knight is harder to use. And in an army that is so fast and so durable with psychic powers, the fact that the Wraith Knight is inherently needs support means that it's like taking a big paperweight. Maybe the points drops will allow some Eldar players to pin it in as like a bit of a choice to sort of sit on objectives, pepper you and do like a counter charge. But I will await somebody who's smarter than myself to kind of tell me about that.
Yeah, it's in a weird spot. Sorry, you continue.
No, it's all good. I guess just like with the GSC though, in addition to what you've got, also look at what's in your super faction. So Harlequins. So Harlequins changed like quite reasonably as GW leaked on their little poster thing that had some points incorrect on it, which was hilarious.
Oh.
So troops went down. Now, troops going down, I think, is actually a big deal. Now, I actually don't really know about the meta in the States and overseas, but here in Australia, and especially in our local area, Denise, you know, a number of people have used Harlequin troops to great effect. Mm-hmm. At team tournaments, I often see Harlequin biker lists or Harlequin troop lists, or rather Harlequin troop detachments plugged into other armies to sort of act as a aggressive charging unit that can clear hordes and things like that.
Yeah.
The fact that they went down is, you know, very, 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 very significant. I guess what's interesting about Harlequins from a balance point of view is not a single one of their models went up.
Mm-hmm.
They had no points increases. They only had points decreases. And that tells me that, but what that likely tells you is that Harlequins aren't unfortunately played enough at a competitive level for GW to even acknowledge something's good enough to need a nerf, which is a bit sad. But hey, don't get too negative. Run more troops and win.
Yeah, they got so much power. Like on two accounts, you know, we got at Newcastle teams, you had Brian in your team and Linford in our team running, you know, some part Harlequins. Linford in our team running the 50 players in the final game just came up against a guard gun line on an open table. And he's like, Denith, I've lost. It's red. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Wayne, you got to pull this round up. And then I look around. Linford's had turn one. And from the first turn, all the tanks are just tied up with players. And I'm like, that's it. Yep, those things are good. And now that they're cheaper.
Literally incredible.
Yeah, and now that they're cheaper, wow. we're going to see some cool stuff over here. And then we got from Beyond the Battlefield, I've been talking a bit with Bods, Matt Bodnichuk, and he's currently getting his Harleys painted up. He's gone, we discussed a list with him. He's gone the old, I think it's a Russia list that you talked about, Liam, with the 18 bikes.
With the racks and the
Harlequins? No, not the racks. He's using the 30 players.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 30 players and 18 bikes, but I think he's going to put more players in now.
So. Yeah, so that Russia list that you're thinking of was 30 racks and 30 players.
Oh, okay.
And all he was doing was every unit of racks babysat one unit of players. So it was just kind of like every unit of players had its own screen. It was awesome.
That's fucking sick.
Yeah, Alexander's his name. I think he was the Russian captain, actually.
Oh, nice.
What a legend.
Yeah.
Other than those main Xenos factions, I don't really know what else there is to talk about, I guess.
No, I think we just wanted to brush over what we were going to see in the meta changing. I mean, it's still the Marine meta. Let's not get that wrong for a second. Marines are still top dog. It's just trying to find little things and other alternate options for different factions. And this is us, you know, spitballing the night before Chapter Approved comes out. And we will see some cool stuff, I think, from what people can play. The other thing we didn't really cover today is Chaos, and that probably needs another episode on its own.
Yeah.
We've got stuff like Death Guard getting a really nice points drop in a lot of things. I think good mate Ben's list went down like 200 points or something with all the Death Shroud. But, T-Sun's got an interesting treatment. The Sorks went down, the Printers went up, the Zangors went up. So we'll see what people do with that. CSM got a really nice boost. Stuff went down all over the place, which is nice.
The spiky boys are having a good day.
Yeah, they actually are. There's a bit of complaints here and there, but I think they're doing really well. But that's, I guess, the majority of the Xenos. We have a lot on our plate, I guess, before Christmas. We'll see what we can release in terms of episodes, because we've got the Chaos stuff in Chapter Approved still needing to be covered, and we'd really like to do a Tyranids episode, because I've been asked by about three or four people being like, hey, when you do the NIDS episode, add this in or talk about this and what can I do with this? And I was like, oh, okay, we've got to get this sorted.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get someone.
I'm happy to piggyback off that episode while I'm in New Zealand, but yeah. Everyone, I'm sorry if I'm not on that episode.
Oh, look, we want to try and get as many respectable voices in Tyranids. I've probably played about four games with Tyranids in my entire 40K existence, so I'm not the best person to talk about them, so we'll try and get someone better off than that. But that's really it, Liam. Any closing comments?
Look, coming up to holiday time, I really look forward to what everyone can come up with for 2020. I mean, we got LVO and for the Australians, CanCon earlier on in 2020. And honestly, that kind of kicks the year off with a bang. I look forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be sick. And look, anyone, you're going to CanCon, Liam, I'm going to CanCon. A lot of the Brisbane guys are going again. If you see us at CanCon, if you're there, say hi. You know, we'd like to meet, you know, anyone and everyone that listens to this show.
I'm the dude with the 6-inch neoprene objective sized bald spot on the back of my head.
And so I'm the dude.
No, you go.
I was going to say, I'm the dude that looks like your Uber driver. So I think we'd be good.
It's the... No, Denise. You're the Australian Nunavati.
A slightly browner magic.
Jesus. All right. I promise you, no Denise were harmed in the making of this episode.
And on that slightly racist subtone, I think we're going to close the episode off. thank you all for listening. If you liked our not quite racist content, please head over to Facebook, give us a like, or subscribe to us on iTunes. We have a Patreon that helps cover our costs on www.patreon.com/thenormalblokes. But overall, everyone has a good weekend and you enjoy Chapter Approved. See ya.
Not quite racist, not quite balanced.
Turn it up, let it start from block 1.